Hey guys, Connect the Pod here.
Hi, I'm Andre Devances, and I'm talking about the practical applications for video games.
I'm Vicky Benitez with how video games affect brain development.
Laz Myman talking about how online gaming affects social interaction.
Daniela Catalan talking about the pros and cons of gaming.
Angelica Benitez with a commentary on video game ratings.
Let's get in the game.
Two men and women, young and old. We all remember wanting to do something and justifying it to our parents by saying it can help us in school. Now with video games, it is definitely true. Hello, I am Andre Devances, and I am going to be talking about the practical applications of video games in education and in medical fields. Video games are known to improve spatial awareness, reasoning, and memory. These three skills are required for both learning in a classroom and saving someone's life in the ER. According to the APA, the American Psychological Association, playing video games, especially violent games, like first-person shooters, improve the mentioned cognitive abilities. I play a lot of video games, especially first-person shooters. And I find that I can remember tiny details of things that I did with my friends years ago, and only the gamers remember the same details. I'm not saying that we should let kids play shooters in classrooms, however. I do believe that video game genres like puzzle and detective games can be used to teach subjects like English and science. Other game genres can be used to teach history and economics. Greg Toppo, author of The Game Believes in You, How Digital Play Can Make Our Kids Smarter, said play helps recognize the structures, the systems, and the economics in which one participates. I have found that I tend to be more aware of my surroundings than my non-gamer friends. Video games can also be used to help surgeons do surgeries better and faster. A study done by Dr. James Rosser Jr. and his colleagues showed that surgeons who played games had 33% better scores on laparoscopic surgery simulators than people who did not. People who played video games for more than 3 hours a week were 27% faster, had 37% fewer errors, and had 42% higher scores than people who did not play. So yes, Mom, video games are good for you.
Why do people always look at the mental side of video games? Why not the physical side? Hi, I am Vicky Benitez, and today I'll be telling you what effects the brain has if you play too many video games. First of all, a child may become enraged easily if they are playing for a long time. Also, the brain and psyche become overstimulated and very excited. When you play for a bit more than an hour and your blood pressure is at a 90 to 60, it could increase to 140 to 90. Your heartbeat rises from 80 beats per minute to more than 100 beats per minute, and your nervous system shifts into high gear, which means you are ready to fight. The blood flows away from the gut, kidneys, liver, and toward the limbs and heart. The levels of feel-good chemical, dopamine, rise in the brain, which elevates mood. At night, the kid may have panic attacks when parents might not even know. I'm 9 years old, and if I play too many video games, how would I grow up? This has been Vicky Benitez.
So, Mom, you were right. Video games are bad for you.
I'm Laz Myman, and I'm here to talk about talking. Well, conversations at least. It's been proven many times that social interaction stimulates the brain, and it's good for you. But does that stimulation transfer over when the social interaction is through online games? The Palo Alto Research Center tried to answer that question with a study on a particular MMO game called Star Wars Galaxies. The study revolved around two main social centers in the game, the Cantina and the Starport. At both those places, there was a lot of conversation. But those conversations weren't that in-depth. They were mainly about asking favors.
Hey, man, heal, please.
Or selling things.
Level 3 marksman training, 100 credits.
Does that count as social interaction? Well, technically, yes. But it's really not the kind that stimulates the brain. So, this leads to the main question. Is social interaction still social interaction? Video games have completely changed our idea of communicating with each other. Friends are now made from across the globe, strangers communicate with each other through Skype, and MMOs are a social platform. But whether that's good or bad depends on the person. With an approximate 20% of the world's population playing video games, it's illogical to assume that every single gamer is antisocial. So, in the end, we really don't know if social interaction is actually changing. We don't know if it's good or bad. We just don't know. But we do know that you can buy an Ewok for 500 credits. This has been Laz Myman. Thanks for listening.
Hi, my name is Daniela Catalan, and today we're looking at the pros and cons of gaming. Many people that don't play video games tend to think they have no use, but there are lots of pros to video games. Strategic thinking, problem solving, hand-eye coordination, and team skills. But probably the biggest pro to any form of gaming is its sense of stress relief. Even something as easygoing as Angry Birds can be a great stress relief after a long day. For some, Angry Birds isn't enough. They need a way to channel out after a really long and stressful week, so they turn to something like Call of Duty or Grand Theft Auto. For example, when I get home from school on Fridays when we have lots of tests, I like to play a game on my phone or anything on my computer. Another big pro to gaming is how active it keeps your mind. Most MMOs, massive multiplayer online, require you to strategize with a team or maybe solo to achieve certain in-game rewards. All the thinking and planning out in these games happens subconsciously for most people, but it sometimes shows up in the real world when you need it. For example, a person's ability to adapt and switch between tasks and think about multiple ideas at a given time to solve problems is increased. Now let's talk about the cons. The biggest con of gaming comes with procrastination. One time I spent so much time playing a game that by the time I had to go to sleep, I hadn't done my homework or any of my chores. The next day I had to do my homework right before class started and it had me in a nervous mood for the whole day. People can have an addict-like response to gaming that can lead to obesity if you play for too much and don't get enough energy. Even some online communities are not good and can cause cyberbullying and other poor social effects if you mirror them. I've seen people be mean to each other on online servers and in-game. They started making commotion and then more people get involved, so shortly after things get way worse than what they were initially. I saw a person who was fighting over some resources with another person and then someone else tried to defend them and get them to calm down, but it didn't work and things got worse. Also, if you've beaten the game and spent so much time on it, then you'll feel an emptiness inside you and find yourself waiting for a new update or sequel to the game to come out. All in all, the point in games is to have fun. Despite all the cons that come with gaming, what really matters is that you're enjoying the game, so the next time that you're going through the gaming section in the store, go ahead, choose one, and remember, have fun. This has been Daniela Catalan telling you about the pros and cons of gaming.
Video game ratings, do people even care anymore? This is Angelica Benitez reporting on a controversial topic. Back in 2000, Dr. David Welsh released a study and found out that 90% of teenagers' parents did not check the ratings or were unaware. Fast forward 17 years and the numbers have increased because now children can download video games anonymously. Video game ratings are set by the ESRB, or the Entertainment Software Rating Board. Created in 1994, this nonprofit organization is in charge of providing information to consumers, especially parents, about the game's violence, sexual, profanity levels. However, the rating is only a precaution and is not enforced by any law or legal norm. But in some countries, video game distributors will follow some guidelines that may restrict consumers from purchasing a certain video game. It is illegal in New Zealand to sell a video game to a consumer who is below the select video game's age bracket. The reason that ratings are developed for specific ages is because some children aren't mature enough to handle the video game's content. They will have a really hard time finding the difference between real and fake, and this can lead to many tragedies such as school shootings or assaults. How come parents aren't stopping this? As a parent, you sometimes can't deny the desires of your child, and seeing their smiles after you buy them that new video game really makes your day. Parents aren't aware of what their child is actually playing. A child wouldn't want to confess the rating on that game, and the parent does not bother to check the rating. You wouldn't let your child walk into a strip club, so why would you let them walk into one in Grand Theft Auto? We have to enforce video game ratings. This has been Angie Benitez, and thank you for listening.
We're on all major social media, so check us out at connectapod.net.
Thank you for listening.
Game over.